Paul Ramel here for Q92 Radio. Of course, March is Egg Month, and we're saluting the egg industry and visiting with some agricultural leaders around our area. And, well, we've got a special guest with us on the phone right now, and a familiar name. Most of you probably know him if you're in agriculture, Clyde Tiffany. Clyde worked with Pioneer Seeds, what, for 40-some years, Clyde?
Yeah, I'm still currently working for them, but I have a retirement date that is fully effective on March 19th of this year. So I started about 40 years ago, right out of college, and it's been a great ride.
That's right. Well, we're going to try to put 40 years in about a 15-minute interview here. Can we do that?
I don't know. Depends on how deep in the stories you want to get.
So talk about your love for agriculture and where you grew up and how you got started in it, Clyde.
Well, I grew up on a farm just south of Redwood Falls, and we raised beef cattle, finish off beef cattle. We didn't have cow-calf, but we'd get young stock from out west, we raised corn and soybeans and alfalfa. We did some canning crops for Del Monte. We did green peas and sweet corn as well. And we also, my dad and my uncle were some of the first growers of DeKalb seed corn for the production plant that existed in Redwood Falls. So I kind of came up with DeKalb in my younger years, but then I got into college, and I was a senior in college. I remember being back home at Christmas time, and the plant for DeKalb had just closed in Redwood. They were shifting over to soybean parent seed, and so my dad and uncle were being wooed by the Pioneer guys, and they got invited to a Pioneer winter meeting. And my dad said, "Why don't you come to that meeting?" And I said, "Well, I can't. I got to go back to finish off some classes." And I said, "But ask them if they need an agronomist, because I was going to be graduating the spring." And sure enough, they talked to the DSM and agronomist there. Mike Davis was the agronomist. Mark Navarro was the DSM. And they got me hooked up to contact. It's a lot different than it is now. The way you contacted people, you sent out resumes, but I ended up interviewing, and lo and behold, they took a chance on a real young guy coming out of college, and I didn't know how long I'd stay in it. It was the early 80s. At one time, I'd thought about coming home to farm, and then it wasn't the greatest economic time in ag in the early 80s, because interest rates were extremely high, and margins were really tight. So in some ways I thought, well, I'll work there maybe 5 years, we'll see how it goes. Well, 5 turned to 10, and then I moved from Mankato, where I covered south central Minnesota. I moved up to Wilmer, where we had a sales office in 92, and I've been in this west central part of Minnesota since then, but in various roles. Always had some touch with agronomy, and I ended up going back to the field with some restructures that just allowed me to go back and work kind of in the same type of capacity that I did when I started down in the Mankato area. So I also had some chances. I covered all the state of Minnesota as an agronomy manager, in southwest Minnesota as a sales manager, and I also had this other title called agronomy information manager for about a year. We were in this transition, and I actually got to cover up into Saskatchewan, Canada, and canola. Learned about canola, and went to outstate or upstate New York, and learned about the dairies and, you know, a lot of different agriculture all over the U.S. But where I've spent most of my time has been western and southern Minnesota.
And over those years, Clyde, you've met a lot of people and a lot of farmers you've worked with, and talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's the real fun part, is really the relationships you get with Pioneer sales reps and then their customer base. And then the employees that I worked with, whether they were territory managers or they used to be called district sales managers. But, you know, a lot of times I really stayed close on the agronomy side. And one of the main things about Pioneer that I've loved, and we've really tried to do the right thing by our customers in providing information. And in order to make those products work as best they can, and you know, we didn't have perfect products all the time. We've had good products, we've had some bad products, and we kind of had to move through those tough times. And right now, I think that Pioneer's genetic improvement and trait package is as good as I've seen it. But there's always ups and downs, but the great thing about it is, even if you're out faced with maybe some less than desirable performance, if you show up, if you end up going out and meeting with these producers, they're real down-to-earth people. They're just great people. I mean, they're just like the folks that I grew up with mm-hmm. on the farm. And so that was really the fun thing. That's the thing I'm going to miss the most, is those interactions and the funny little jokes you have. And it's an exciting time in ag, but I still think about when I started. We didn't have cell phones, didn't have a PC, carried around quarters and nickels and dimes so I could stop at a payphone and call my I had a cassette type answering machine on my home landline, so you'd either call when you got home or you'd call in and get those messages. And we send, instead of emails or sending anything on social media, why, it was all hard copy.
Right.
That you'd send out. And we also didn't have any traits in hybrids or soybean varieties. Not like now. The amazing thing has been those traits that have come on in the last 40 years, they'll continue to come on. It's really incredible business when you start thinking about it.
That's right. Well, you mentioned a number of changes. That's actually was my question. Well, in 40 years, what are other changes that you've seen over the years? You know, technology, of course, is huge. But any other changes that come to mind, Clyde?
Well, the size of the producers is changed dramatically. I remember, you know, a pretty good-sized tractor at the time was a 4440 or a John Deere 7000 combine. Well, they're dwarfed right now. You barely run an auger with a 4440. You know, a big planter back then was, 8 to 12. Maybe you'd get a 16 every once in a while. Well, those size planters, those are for filling in potholes or putting in a plot or something like that, planting sweet corn patches, what have you. So scope has gotten much larger. You know, the ability to move material has gotten much larger. And that's just a case of the economies of scale that has really changed that. If I think about the technology, though, that came that I got to be right next to, I think that one of the most exciting ones was when we got corn borer resistance as a BT trait, so above ground control of corn borer. For the first, six, 8 years of my career, well, actually longer than that, it was really into the we were looking at a lot of corn borer that would come in. You don't see corn borer anymore. That's because BT hybrids became so widely used that we really reduced that pressure from the mm-hmm. corn borer. Mm-hmm. And not long after that, you started getting, you started seeing like the Roundup Ready technology in beans and then Roundup Ready technology in corn, and then corn rootworm traits came along. And you know, we've had our ebbs and flows on those technologies as well, because with overuse, quite often the pest starts developing resistance. So we have to balance things and control things perhaps differently at times, or right. mix it up, because Mother Nature is going to adapt to what man throws at her, and they'll do a workaround. If you're going to bet on anything, you want to bet on the insects because or the weeds. They figure out things, and we naturally select it because of overuse at times. But usually, we come up with some other strategies, and there's stuff coming out like this. We got this new product called Vorseed, which is a triple stack corn hybrid that has corn rootworm, corn borer. It uses several different traits on that, as well as having Enlist herbicide resistance with it. So it will help improve the tolerance of corn to Enlist herbicide, which is type background. And so you'll start hearing about that. I actually haven't seen one of those in production yet, but I anticipate you will in the next couple of years. And so even in retirement, I'm going to be looking for that and seeking that out and trying to see how that works.
All right. Well, a lot of changes in the 40 years that you've seen, Clyde. So.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we're visiting with Clyde Tiffany. Clyde is a familiar voice here on Q92. Clyde's done the Pioneer Seed Update, 15 years with us now or so or better?
I suppose on and off at least that. I mean, I kind of would share it with John Skoglund, who was our district sales manager for a number of years, and I've shared it with some other guys, Wade Gooprood. Eric Rice, John Janney. I guess I've probably been out here longer than most of those guys. So, I'll miss doing them. They're kind of fun to do. I like to like to try to teach some people what might be going on, what they might look for, and what some of the issues are. But there'll be good new people coming in that'll be filling my role.
Well, I'm a city kid, you know, Clyde, and I've learned more from you about farming than anybody else just by visiting with you every week. You mentioned John Skoglund's name. Do you remember the first time we met? You want to tell that story?
John's kind of a jokester, and I'd worked with John for a number of years, and he retired from Pioneer, and then he started Talking Waters Brewery there in Montevideo, and we were at his establishment, and I'd never met Paul, and Paul had never met me.
But we've talked a lot on the phone.
We'd talked on the phone, and John went up to you, and I was with him, and he's particularly set you up because he said, "Hey, have you ever met this Clyde Tiffany? You know who Clyde Tiffany is?" And you said something effective, "Yeah." And luckily you didn't say, "Well, that so-and-so, that son of a gun, I don't like him at all."
Oh, and you're standing right next to, you're sitting right next to me, John, Clyde.
Yeah, we were right next to one another. It was pretty funny. We had a lot of fun with it. Yeah, John was laughing, and I think you were surprised. I was surprised and mad
for a little bit. He was setting me up. What if I would have said, I don't like that guy? He's sitting right.
Yeah, that would have been a little harder to work through for both of us.
Yeah, that was a good one John pulled on us.
Yeah. Well, I hope John hears this now.
Yeah. So what's the plans for retirement with your family and stuff?
I've got six kids, and about half of them are married right now. One's going to get married here this summer, and a number of them are starting families or had families, and so I'll be chasing some basketball players and some dancers and some soccer players and who knows what else, but we got six grandkids, and so we're going to be chasing around on that. We'll do a few more trips. We've got a kind of a bucket list of trips that we're trying to check off as we go, and while our body still can do it. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll be entertaining folks here at our place, and but anyway, going forward, I don't know if I'll be working in the ag industry or not. I might do a little bit of part-time work, but for the most part, I'm going to be relaxing and doing more things that I want to do on my schedule.
There you go. Well, Clyde, thank you very much for what you've done in the egg business all these years, and especially with Pioneer. We appreciate what you've done with the Pioneer Seed Update here every day here on Q92. And you've done a great job. And don't be a stranger. You're in the Madison area. Stop by.
All right, Paul. I appreciate those kind words, and we'll hopefully we'll be able to talk to you, and it's been a great ride for 40 years.
All right. That's Clyde Tiffany from Pioneer Seeds, and talking about his 40-year career. And this is Egg Month during the month of March, and we'll continue with some more interviews with egg producers during the month of March.